Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy, and I am here joined with me by Jackie Horbrook. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing.
Out here, how are you doing? Multitasking. I'm good. I was doing the same thing. Before you hopped on, I had movers here. I'm like moving stuff to Nashville, packing up my house, still getting stuff ready. I'm in the process of ending a remodel, so I've been talking to my contractors, answering haters on social media stuff. You know what I'm saying,
the usual, right?
Yo, so this is awesome to have you on, because the first time I heard of you is because my assistant brought you to me, and I was like, all right, well, let me go to this girl's page, let me see what she's all about. Here's the most beautiful thing about all this. So your handle is Jackie the Educator, right? And yep. I'm going through all your posts, and the one thing that I'm getting educated wise is your positivity, this infectious energy. Right from the top, it's like, I realize you've been through some things, so I'm really interested in that. But after going through all of it, I'm like, what does she teach? I want to know. I was like, is this the trick? Is this the hook? Is like, she's hella positive. She's hella like, you know, this is my story. I'm going to make it. I made it already, because I love your little video where it's like, 3 years ago, I was living with my parents. Now I'm earning six figures and I'm killing it. Say God won't. So I'm just like, bruh, I am now fully intrigued. What is it that you do? What's your story? Give it to me.
Yeah. So funny that you started with the Jackie the Educator question, because I actually used to be an educator. That was my full-time thing. Went to school for it. Got a couple of degrees to be an educator. And I was working at a university in higher education as a director of diversity. And I taught. And that was really what I started social media with, was trying to reach my students. Because they weren't coming to class. They were on social media.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it was. My students, I was teaching a class in college for like introductory to college courses, and they weren't coming. So I'm like, where are they at? And I would always look online and see them online. And so I was like, what if I got a platform and connected with them in that way? And I started out by doing that for my students. And I realized, like, whoa, it's a big world out here. And so it quickly developed into me reaching more than just my students. And that platform grew on its own. I learned all about becoming an influencer and how much opportunity is there as influencers. And that's what literally kind of started my taste of, you know, being a Jackie the Educator. So it's been that way because I started off as an educator.
As an actual educator, an actual teacher.
Yeah, and it still applies. So that's kind of where that name came from.
So would you say your trend? Go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, so outside of that, though, after I kind of started that, I had a real life-changing situation where my ex-husband had severe PTSD. We had to go through a divorce. It was just a whole different world happened for me overnight, and God really took control of my life from that point on. My testimony of getting through that, you know, and having to deal with depression and, you know, pretty much starting over, like having to go back and live with my parents. Anybody who knows what it's like to live with your parents, you know that that's a hit.
Wait, yeah. So PTSD from what? Was he in the service?
Yeah, he was in the military. He's a lifer. He's now retired. But they come back with a lot of unseen scars.
Yeah.
And he was dealing with a lot. Like, he was delusional. He would have these moments where he would have flashbacks back to when he was in Iraq. And, you know, he would do that around me and my children. So a lot of the things he was dealing with was out of his control. And so, you know, I was in this space of like, God, why would you do this to me? Like, yeah. You know, he's a great man. And why would you do this to him? You know, so I was really struggling at that time with understanding God's reasoning for everything. And so that's what really led me to like fully give him control. I'm like, you know what, God, I can't do anything else. I don't know how else how to deal with this. So I gave it to God, and God did something that was good for me, but at the time it felt really bad because if I had stayed in that situation, I don't know if I would still be here. And that's really what happened. God saved my life. And from that point on, I remember going in the basement and I was like, God, if you get me out of this, I don't know how you are, because I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I don't have anywhere to go with my kids. I don't know, you know, and then literally God, he did just that. And so that's where I'm at now. God had literally changed my life, saved me, gave me this amazing idea to start this organization. And here I am today.
So how long ago did this happen?
This is 5 years ago now.
Okay, so 5 years. It's interesting because, you know, on your page, like I said, there's so much positivity, and there's verbiage that you use right now where you said, God, how could you do this? How could you do that? Is there a different view of that verbiage? Because I know, you know, typically when believers, we go through something, we're like, God, why, you know? And that's happened to me before, where I'm always like, why'd you do this? Or why'd you let this happen? And I don't know about you, but on the other side of, and I'm one of those people that are super like brutally honest to myself, right? Cause it's the only way I know how to get from point A to point B. Cause before, the blaming other people, the, you know, it's their fault, it's not me, it's them, would never lead me anywhere but more anger and more like disdain for people. So I started realizing, man, God, most of the times where I found disappointment, and I'm not saying this is you, but most of the time it was because of decisions I made, right? Yeah. So I had to stop being like, God, why'd you do this? And I had to start being like, Manny, why'd you do this? And God, thank you for getting me through this. Yeah. So did you have some kind of thought like that, or did it really feel like you were like, God, you did this? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely had that thought, because to back it up even more, my ex-husband, when we got together, he wasn't firm in his faith. So I was just, you know, I was like, you know what, God, he checked all the other boxes. You know, he was a man of, you know, integrity. He had, you know, his things together, everything else checked off except that one where it was like, you know, faith. And it was like a question mark, you know, and at the time it was a question mark. By the time we were married, he was a full-blown atheist. And I realized, I was like, ooh, that's what you were talking about, God. You know, because I had that moment like where God, before we got married, was trying to tell me like, hey, he's not all the way together. He could be. Mm. He has to completely give his life to me, but you aren't, you know, secure to go on. But I went on anyway and did what I wanted to do, right? And so I got myself in this position where, you know, I literally did it to myself because he warned me.
Right.
And then I'm like asking God, like, why did you do this? He's like, but you did that. I told you. No, I said, wait. You know,
I feel it.
That was it.
I feel you. I mean, it's really the case for most, you know, if we're honest, it's really the case for a lot of, at least in my life, if I'm honest, I can look back and be like, damn, yo, it was me. It was a lot of the stuff that it was me. But to the fact that you would move back with your parents, you know, I've given people advice. There's three people on my mind right now, as soon as I jumped out, that they would have rather stayed in their situation than to suffer the humility of moving back with their parents. And I guess showing the world that their whatever they were doing didn't work. And to me, I'm like, bruh, two steps back to take four forward. Like, how does that not compute? But they literally stayed in worse situations and still have not progressed past where they wanted to be.
Sheesh. I mean, I did it, though. I can't even, like, sit here and say I was smart, but I was pushed into it. My house that I was staying in, because at the time he was not in his right mind, so he completely just left us, you know, to kind of fend for ourselves. He wasn't himself at the time, you know? And so I'm sitting here now. Lights got cut off, water got cut off in the house, mortgage not being paid. And I still didn't tell my parents, because I was scared to feel like I failed right. to them and the world, right? Because I was out here, I have two kids, you know, I'm looking like I have it all together, and here I am struggling. So God had to break my pride, you know, in order for me to ask for help. And I think that was the start of him breaking me to build me back up.
Right.
Because when you don't want to bend, when you don't want to be humble, God will, again, keep putting you through the same test. Like, okay, well, I guess you still want to keep getting your head beat up until you humble yourself, you know? And so that's when I finally learned, like, okay, let me humble myself, ask for help, humble myself, start over, humble myself, live in my parents' basement. And that's when God finally delivered this amazing idea that I wouldn't have had at any other place. Like, if I wasn't in that basement, in that situation, it would never have birthed what I've created now with this organization. So,
and that organization you're talking about is the Black Christian Influencers, correct?
Black Christian Influencers. Also, it's a Christian travel club, and it's the BCI Influencer Agency. All of that stuff came from a basement.
Okay, so here's my question. Obviously, it could have been Christian Influencers, but the Black in front of it. Did you see did you see a missing element in our community that's like, yo, I need it.
Yes.
It's important for me to add this adjective right here.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, as a former director of diversity, I was very much so in a space of understanding that specific groups need support. They need resources in order to grow and to be at the same levels as other races. And that's what I did. I wanted us to be at the same levels because we were not receiving the same opportunities. We didn't know about them. We didn't know our worth. We would be sharing things on social media for free just because we thought it was cool, not knowing that other people, they're getting paid thousands of dollars, right? These top influencers, even to this day, if you look across the board, we have influencers that are, you know, not of color that are getting paid by creating content from people of color, duplicating the same content, right? And so it was a disparity because we were not educated on what we are worth. And I wanted us specifically for the Black Christians to get that money, to get that opportunity to be shared, for us to share and to hopefully be empowered to, you know, get the resources that we need to do it more.
Right.
So that's what I saw a gap in. I also started the Latinx Christian Influencers, the Christian Influencers United. These are all ideas. Like, this company is only 3 years old. So there is so much I want to do and so many places I want us to go. But this is the start now. And obviously, I wanted to start with me.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen what kind of response have you seen? Is it been more like I hate using the word ignorant because it has such a negative connotation, but just an unawareness of the ability to be more? Because I know what you're saying. Like, I'm super pro people of color, obviously, because I am one. But I'm also like, you know, I love everyone kind of thing. I do understand and see the majority of things. And I guess I don't want to paint with the broad strokes, but the amount of times I've seen little white girls dancing to black music, giving their best Black impression, you know, and I don't think anything. I'm not like, I won't leave a comment. I'll just be like, look at you appreciating what we do so well.
Thank you. Right.
But, you know, it is a thing in which that if we don't know our worth, and I Big Sean has a song where he leads his song. It says, if a football team is willing to pay you $15 million, then what you are worth to your white owner is an infinite amount more than that. And exactly. That is an issue that, we don't know about. We just don't know. There's been a lot of lack of teaching, especially since the people that have come before us, our parents, God bless their souls, they didn't have the information. We Correct. Do. We have a Google. You know, they didn't have a Google. So yeah. I think it's amazing that this is something that you've chosen to do. And it doesn't seem, because when I went through it, I was like, oh, okay, this could easily become a pro us and anti them.
Exactly.
But this is not that at all. Like, what you choose to post on your page A, it's hella funny because you make fun of our our stuff. Like, it's entertaining and it's like super positive, like uplifting stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. this is just pro us. This isn't anti them.
It's very intentional for it to not be, because there are so many things going on in the world, like so many things that we could be talking about. But I'm like, this space specifically is for positivity. It's for uplifting. It's for people to come in to get a spot of peace, you know, right. A spot of peace from people of color to be like, you know, we have a lot to offer and we have different dimensions to us, right? We have advocacy components. We have, you know, activist components. We have components of us too that are just fun and positive in a good way that's not, you know, provocative or, you know, disrespectful or vulgar, you know? And so that's really what BCI, Black Christian Influencers, is focusing on. And it's focusing on people who also represent Christ, you know? And that's really, you know, a specific genre. And I feel like people who come to the platform enjoy it for that because they know exactly what they're getting when they come here.
Right. And that was it. I was dying laughing at a lot of these posts. I was like, the one where the dude was like, stop running in my house. I was like, bruh, I've done these things. And it's, you know, and I like that you engage yourself in this. Like, I think it says a lot about you, like a lot about what you're trying to promote. Because, you know, typically when it comes to most Christian influencers, it's very, when you get on that level, it can be polarizing in some degree because it is very much a, this is what I believe and I'm willing to point out who else is wrong or make a divide. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the top influencers, and I would say influencers, not like preachers who just happen to end up getting a big following, but actual, like, this is what I do, I'm an influencer, have usually cut their teeth on separating us versus them kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like a secret that the churches, we have tent poles that we have stuck in the ground and been like, this is where we will die on our hill. Mm-hmm. How, where are you at in that as far as your verbiage as far as inclusivity? I know is definitely a progressive thought. It's something that the church wasn't really, you know, it's a new thing, honestly, to be. What about inclusivity? Like, where do you find yourself on that?
Yeah, I think for us especially, we are in a lot of ways sharing different views intentionally so that other people can decide for themselves where they fit. So I have my personal beliefs on everything, but you'll see people on our platform that are on one side or the other. But what we do is we're intentional on sharing both. Right. So we're going to share the people who are on the left and then we're going to share the people that are on the right. Right. But you come to this space because we use it all.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to make sure that I'm consistent about. Right. I don't want people to feel like, well, because I'm on the left, I can't connect with this platform. No, it's literally a space for everybody and all thoughts to be appreciated. But my personal views, which is why I still have Jackie the Educator, I can share my background, especially with working as a director of diversity and how I'm intentional about being inclusive of all races and all backgrounds and making sure that people feel respected and appreciated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is literally just one part of how we're doing that for one specific group.
Right.
But my goal is for us to be inclusive, to do that with many different groups, and for people to appreciate each one, right? So just because I may not be a Latina Christian influencer doesn't mean I can't support a space that's for that, right?
Yeah,
that's really what this is about. And eventually we're intentional with helping to diversify spaces, right? So spaces that are not maybe diverse, right?
Right.
We brands that are not diverse. They're trying to be though.
Right.
We can help you with that because we got the people to do it. You know, it's, our goal is to get the people that need to be intentionally diversified the support that they need. And they know exactly where to come. We're right here.
So is that basically, so you're a connector of, so if you connect people of color, primarily believers, with other brands that want to promote their brands.
Absolutely.
Is there a certain amount of followers that they have to have? Is there a certain amount of like level they have to be at, or do you have something for everyone?
We have something for everyone. So sometimes we have brands that maybe are smaller. We work with a publishing company. Again, it's really small, but they're trying to be more diverse, right? Mm-hmm. So we do consulting for them. We also intentionally work with them for our influencers to diversify the books that are being spread and to be intentional with that. And then we also have brands like Match.com, right? Where they're trying to reach a different audience and they want to be more diverse, but they got to reach the right people, right? So we do our best to connect them with the influencers that are going to reach those new markets and areas and spaces. So we work with brands that are big and small. Again, even with regular people, sometimes they want to just be referred. Like churches will say, hey, we're an organization, we're not very diverse, but we want to be, and we're looking for a speaker that could come speak at our church about this. We'll refer people to our directory so that they can look through it and connect and find the people that they want. So on every level, we're doing our best to give people opportunity to be diverse.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times what I heard working at a university was that I don't have access to the people that, you know, could help me be intentionally diverse. So that's why it's not diverse. Well,
sure.
We don't have an excuse because that's what we do.
Right. Do you find any, this sounds like a massive undertaking, what you're doing.
It is.
And it sounds like it's just you, unless you have a team. Do you have a team with you, or is it just you?
I have a team.
Okay.
It's not large, expansive as we want it to be. Obviously, 3 years in, it's a very small team. So
okay.
It's me and about 5 other people that are working behind the scenes, but we're getting there. That's my goal, for us to eventually expand to a place where we can be more vocal about what we're doing. Because a lot of the things we're doing in the background, people don't know because we don't have the capacity to take a lot more on right now, right? So the things that we have and we're working with, we're doing it well and making sure that we're doing it so that we can duplicate it and people will be like, yeah, they did an amazing job.
Yeah.
But again, it's something that, again, it's very needed and it's more than just a page. So the background of BCI, we're doing this work. We're really trying to diversify spaces intentionally.
Now, would you say that your mission tends to look forward more than back? And the reason I ask this is because I went down a freaking rabbit hole earlier today, and I'm like you in the sense of I am not left or right. And I know that pisses, I live in Cali, so it's like
people so upset.
Everybody is my, but I'm like, I will listen to Ben Shapiro and then I will go all the way to this side and listen to this guy, and I will listen to everyone and give everyone a chance. And then filter through the BS and figure out, okay, this person's making good sense. This person, because I just believe I can learn from anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really can. But Vice does this thing where they bring together a lot of different peoples and they'll have like interviews. And today I went down the road of education, and it was very interesting to hear a split. Education and guns were the two episodes that I watched, right? And it was interesting to see the split, especially in education, where the people of color almost no longer want, not that they were denying the past or the effects of the past, but just felt like it was more important to teach the present and the future, as opposed to living in this constant cycle of trauma, which some people of color say that, hey man, this is inevitable. It's not even something that we try to do. It's just, it's innately in us. We inherit this. And they seem so bothered by that narrative because they believe in their own life and as they seen in their own communities, it's like, we're more than this. Like, let's stop leaning on this. Do you find a push in either direction as far as what you're doing? Because obviously it's acute. Like you said, it's a niche. It's to get these people of color to understand their power. Do you feel the need to look back, or is it like, bruh, let's move forward? It's all forward from here.
I mean, I think it's important to have explored back the process, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on where you are, some people need to stop and just absorb and see where they've come from, see what's happened, you know, recognize and just process that whole piece of what we've been through. But I do believe that there is a need for people to continue to move forward, to progress, because we can't stay there, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have to get the baton and run with it. And so I like to be someone who is known as a solutionist. Every time when I was working as a director of diversity, this is what got me in trouble, is that I'm not just here to teach about what has happened. I'm here to create people that will help change what will happen in the future.
Yes.
And so I want us to find things that we can do now. Like, we're going to all go to Capitol Hill and, you know, we're all going to go and lobby, do what we got to do, right? Get in front of the right people, make the conversations happen. Like, we have to move things along.
Yeah.
And that's not to minimize what has been done, but it's just for us to continue and to build off of what has happened and make sure that we're not staying where we were.
Right.
So I'm all about pushing forward. So that's all this is. Like, people see it as a surface, like, oh, that's funny, that's fun. But behind the scenes, we're moving. We're trying to move things along to help people not stay where they were.
Yeah. And that's something that I had to even, you know, I have to be honest, like, I'm Puerto Rican, and most people don't understand our makeup. So our makeup is a wide spectrum. It's a third African, a third Taino, which is our native Indian, and then Spaniard. So based on our skin tone, you can tell which race took over more, you know, which ethnicity took over more. So we got hella black Puerto Ricans, and then we got hella white Puerto Ricans. It's this, I'm in the middle, you know, but I just started understanding my history and what happened to us. And I was almost ashamed that I didn't know. It did give me a sense of understanding of what we had to come through or go through to even succeed. So it helped me appreciate the plight, right? But yeah. Even more so, it made me want to rewrite a future that now I have control of, you know? And that's so important to me, because I wasn't taught these things. I wasn't taught anything of my historical background. It was just more like, I don't even know. It's kind of sad, like, that I had to find out at 30, you know, 35. I was like, wait, what? This is what it is? And now I'm like, okay, now that I understand this past, I am now in love with creating a future that my daughter's past will not even resemble what it was. Yeah. Like, so she'll be teaching, and it'll be a new generation having a completely different past, where it's like, well, my past consists of success. It consists of us building wealth. It consists of us understanding money, understanding the system that we are currently in. Because that's really the thing, right? Instead of, I hear a lot of, like, I'm mad at the system, and I'm mad at the you know, the people that are in power. And I'm like, man, I got over that quick. I got pissed for a second, but then I'm like, but I'm in the system. So if I don't figure out how this thing works, I'm not changing anything. So I immediately went from I'm mad at the system to let me see how this thing works. Let me look at my quote unquote enemy, which is not my enemy, but the people that told me to look at them as enemies. And let me see how they're winning and what they're using and how they're playing the game. Okay, let me take that. Let me learn, except with my benefits and my profits, I'm just gonna use it to benefit my people. Now I'm trying to teach as many color folk, I mean, people of color, is like, yo, this is how you gain wealth. This is how you keep it. Let me teach you about real estate. Let me teach you about depreciation. Let me teach you about appreciation. Let me teach you about all these wealth tactics that nobody taught you about, that I'm still learning, that is moving us forward. You know what I'm saying? That's where my heart lies. Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to be on that.
Yes. I'm here with you on that, man. That's something that is so needed. And I feel like we have enough people who are going to, you know, be consistently sharing our history, right? We don't have enough solutionists, though. People who are creating new trails based off of what has happened in the history, but making new places for us to go. You know, like the wealth conversations, building it, keeping it, you know, making sure it's sustained. That stuff right there is stuff that we need to focus on so that our children, like you said, can have new narratives to talk about.
Yeah. Thanks so much, y'all, for listening to part one of this episode. We appreciate it greatly. Hey, like and subscribe if you guys are feeling this. Share it with your friends. We appreciate it so much. Please come back next week for part two. Love you.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.